Patrick, mettila in mezzo Patrick, palla nostra, Suso, tira Alessio, Suso, tira, perché non tiriamo? Ma perché non tiriamo? Gol! Alessio Romagnoli! Il gol del capitano ancora l'ultimo!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher, joined once again by Anthony Torgrud.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Glad to be here. Ollie, that was a great 10 count you gave us a start here. I don't know why you went that long. You know, normally do three, but whatever, have at it. You can find me on Twitter at Torgrud45. We got Madison with us as well.
Yeah, I am not looking forward to this week's episode. normally I am. This week I'm not. But you guys can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Madison_DT. And Anthony the Beard is looking nice.
Thank you. Also, I want to point out, I'm the only one who wore red. You guys look like you both have blue on, so thanks for...
To be fair, I do black. Have...
Oh, okay.
I just do kidding. Have a dark blue flannel shirt, but it was also 10 degrees today, so...
Pretty frat, bro.
What?
That doesn't even look red, by the way. That looks like maroon or something, but...
I mean, yeah, maroon, red, whatever. It's all the same.
I mean, our high-quality cameras pick up great color, so...
Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
In fact, brand name, dude. Oliver, your shirt looks a little rainbow.
It does, honestly. Yeah, I see like green stripes.
A light refracting. It is literally a solid black t-shirt with a gray logo on. And it's a Huddersfield t-shirt rather than...
Oh, so then it probably is blue, you know?
No, it's definitely black.
So, black Milan podcast.
So we might as well just avoid everything to do with the football club that we supposedly, you know, do this podcast for, really. They've brought us a lot of pain over the last 24 hours, or just over 24 hours. I don't know about you two. I'm still hurting a little bit from this. I think it hurts to lose a derby, but like the one earlier in the season where we were 2-0, where we lost 2-0, it just felt like one of those really, really cagey games and we didn't really give a proper account of ourselves. And obviously it was Gian Paolo in charge and so much has changed since then. And then like, you know, this point almost 24 hours ago going in 2-0 up at half time, it was like a complete flip of the script from that game. I'm determined to start this, though, with the good points. The first 45 minutes, AJ, best half of the season by far.
Without a doubt. That was the best half of football I've seen from us probably since 2012-13 year, you know, whenever we last were respected in Europe. And, yeah, I was super excited. It was exactly what we wanted to see. It's exactly why we brought Zlatan in, you know, to get that leadership, that hunger. Everyone played with a purpose, with desire. And they looked like they were just fantastic, man. There was absolutely nothing wrong in the first half. Conte was still a bit shaky, which we ended up paying for in the second half. But it just in the first half, every mistake was able to be overlooked because of how great everything else was going. And yeah, to see Zlatan score and get an assist and the way he celebrated and in front of the Quivenord and just blow him the kiss of death. It was
yeah.
It was really cool, man. That was the happiest I've probably been watching a football game, and definitely in this decade, probably last as well.
Yeah. I was like, it's only been a month and a half this decade, so yeah. That's not saying much. But I mean, I think everyone, when the final whistle blew in the first half, was just like, what did we just watch? We just dominated Inter. We looked like we could go on to qualify for Champions League. And then second half starts, and the last 10 years of Milan showed up in 45 minutes. You know,
in like 6 minutes.
I'm literally shaking my head in disbelief because yeah. I didn't see. I mean, Maddie, you did. You said, like, in the group chat, just calm down. It's been 45 minutes. If we can do that to them in the first half, then they can do that to us and probably worse. And you ended up being right. But. I just cannot believe how amazing everything felt at halftime. You know, it was like, forget the 19-point gap or whatever. Forget we were about to do some serious damage to them, boost our own top four hopes. You know, it was our best performance of the season. We looked aggressive. We looked like we had the mentality to cope with a big occasion. You know, a lot was made in the days leading up about how we were going to use a new system that was like a 4-4-1-1 and try and pack out the midfield. And I think for the first 45 minutes, that definitely worked. Like, the pressing was there. Every time their midfielders got the ball, all they could really do was knock it long to Lukaku, and that only really worked once, and that was when it was at 0-0 and he got the better of Real Manuele, and we'll come on to him in a bit, but that was when he squared to Vecino and he should have scored. But aside from that, it was a pretty faultless performance. You know, like I said, we were right in their faces. We didn't give them a moment on the ball, and that was what it was all about. It was always going to be difficult to keep that up, but I think saw enough positive signs from that system to suggest that if we got to the 60-minute mark, then, and we still had a two-goal lead, then we'd be in a really good position to see the game out, and we could make the subs then, get the fresh legs on, etc. And it didn't happen that way. Before we come on to the capitulation, what would you have said at halftime? What would your message have been if you're Stefano Pioli?
Calm down. Stay focused. You know, there's still another half left. Something that Madison told us as fans at halftime.
Madison
I didn't adhere to. You know, I was so stoked. So I originally was going to have people over, and one by one, they all canceled on me morning of. So that was cool, I guess.
Story of your life, isn't it, really?
Yeah, honestly. But so, you know, it was just me and my pup. We're celebrating, jumping everywhere. The cool thing about dogs is when you're hyped, they're extra hyped. They don't even care what the reason is. So that was fun. But then my roommate came downstairs at halftime, saw the score, and so we chatted about it. And I even said, a 2-0 lead is the most dangerous lead in sports. And he's like, but F it, you got Zlatan. And I said, good point. And so I chugged a couple beers, which I hadn't done in a while. I was just excited. And then the second half started. and it went down.
You chugged a couple more beers.
Yeah, but not for the same reason.
Oh, yeah.
No, but yeah, as far as halftime, I would have just said, stay focused. You know, don't lose your cool. We obviously, no one on this team was there for the 2005 final, but it surely had to have been the exact same scene in the locker room, you know, with just celebrating well ahead of yourselves. Obviously, Conte is giving the exact opposite speech. He's giving, there's still 45 minutes left. If they could do that, so can we. And they were ready. They were hungry. We turned off. I do think that had we not have went into halftime with the 2-0 lead, we probably would have changed up the way we approached the second half. You know, I think we would have been, I think we would have just played better, you know, and I think Inter wouldn't have played as hard right out the gates. I think it would have been a lot more even going into it. To your point, Ollie, about if we would have made it to the 60th minute with that lead, we would have been in a better situation. I agree. I think the substitutions would have been different. They probably would have been more defensive. Probably would have saw Salamakers coming on for Conte. You probably would have saw, I don't know, another midfielder that more defensively. I guess Krunic was injured. So, but regardless, you know, you wouldn't have seen Bonaventura get thrown on, Leao get thrown on, and every attacking player, Paqueta also. You know, once we went down, our formation really took a toll because it just became all attack. And I think that's really why they got the fourth goal. Was because, well, A, we shut off and we were defeated at that point, but we also didn't have a midfield anymore, you know. Originally, yes, you said it was a whatever we had, 4-4-1-1. To me, it looked more like when we were going forward, it was like a 2-2-5-1, you know. I mean, we had Teo Hernandez and Conte going forward, and then we had Calhanoglu in the middle with Rebic and whoever else, I can't remember. But it looked very attacking. It worked. And then we kind of just threw more attackers on, and it suffered because of it. But it is what it is.
We just turned off. You know, they got two real quick goals. They had us on our heels. We were not thinking clearly, and it clearly shows that they are more suited to win the league than we are to qualify for Champions League. It's just a mentality thing. Our players are not in the right mind. They showed no fight in this second half. Like they have previously when they were down, we were intimidated by Inter, and we can't be intimidated by them because they're scum.
Well, and especially the lineup that they had, you know, we were lucky to get both those goals. They both really came from Padelli mistakes, you know, not so much great skill on our part. Obviously, the buildup to get there and the passing was spot on, but There's no reason Rebic should have got to that ball before Padelli on the first goal. And there's really no reason he shouldn't have been able to save Zlatan's header, because I think he got a touch to it.
Yeah, so, he did.
I mean, if those two things don't happen, we're going in halftime 0-0, but we have the advantage still. So it almost would have been maybe beneficial if he would have done a better keeping job in the first half. It's shocking because we know how much better Donnarumma is compared to him, and yet Donnarumma let in 4 goals.
Yeah, I feel bad. I mean, I think our entire back line was badly exposed in the second half, but I also think that second half performance was one of those where, especially when they scored the 2 goals as quickly as they did, it felt like the momentum was unstoppable, and that every time they went forward, they were going to score. I think the actual, you know, if you look at the way that the first goal was conceded, there was nothing in particular there that was a glaring error. It was, you know, a block that fell perfectly to Brozovic on the edge of the box, and we know that he can hit them in from distance. But it's like, okay, that's why you really take the sting out of the game by knocking the ball into the corners if you have to. You know, just if we've got a man down, then take as much time as you need. You really need to take the proverbial sting out of the game and make sure that it gets beyond the hour and it's still 2-1. And then you start looking for those counter-attacking opportunities to really kill the game off. But just going back to the half-time thing, I totally agree in that if I would have felt much more comfortable going in at half-time 1-0 up, or maybe even at 0-0 still, because I think that then dictated for us the way that we needed to come out and play the second half, and that would have been to look for the goal.
And there was no better time for it to have gone to half-time for Inter. You know, it's like a boxer that's getting pummeled and the bell rings on the 9 count. You know, he gets saved by the bell. That's exactly what it was. It gave him a chance to recover. Had that have been the second half, we could have got 4. You know, we were unstoppable at that point, and I bet we would have kept going for more had it not have been halftime.
Yeah, a few people said that it could have easily been 3 or 4-0 at halftime, which it could have. We were so dominant in that first half, we made them look like a really poor side. Like I say, I've not seen them give the ball away as much this season, which a lot of credit goes to our press, as I said, for that. But you know, you have the Calhanoglu effort that hits the post. Our 2 goals were lucky, but I don't think anybody at the point where we took the lead said that it was undeserved. You know, we'd been so on top at that point that it was like we made our own luck by putting the ball into dangerous areas. And nobody really knew what system we were playing at the point in the last 5 minutes of the half when we scored, because all of a sudden, Rebic was up top alongside Ibrahimovic, and we were meant to only be playing with one striker. So I think we changed it up and went to try and get that goal before half-time. And, you know, it did the business. And I really don't know what was said at half-time. I don't. I think it's harder than people imagine for a coach to go into the locker room with us 2-0 up and playing such good football to then go in and say, stop doing that. We need to put men behind the ball and create a low block and stop them scoring now. That's it. It's hard to take so much momentum out of how we were playing. And we didn't really get a chance to see a pattern from, you know, the 5 minutes that it took them to score to get back into the game. And then that was just it. I think that was where it became a difference. And it kind of sums up our season pretty perfectly, does this game, in that it is a tale of two halves. And in the first half, we saw everything that we are encouraged by about this team, that they have the energy, the, you know, the youthful exuberance, and Zlatan's come to instill that sort of warrior mentality, and that we can compete with anyone over stretches of a game, and that our goal scoring problem isn't as bad, all that kind of positive stuff that we've seen since the turn of the year. But then in the second half, it becomes purely psychological. It's like, we're not yet a team that has enough leaders that when we're up against the wall, we can't stop the bleeding, you know? And it's kind of painful to watch it unfold in front of us. It is perhaps indicative of the gap between the two sides at the moment, and the gap in, say, the gap in mentality, because it don't really make much sense. But, you know, we're not in a position like that, you know? And you look at our record against the top 4 sides this season, we've lost all 6 games that we've played against the current top 4. We've scored only 4 goals, half of them coming last night, and we've conceded 16. So like, that's the gap in black and white. That's that's where we are compared to the rest of the teams. And it just goes to show that even if we do have a good half against these teams, we had a good half at Juve and we lost that particular game. You know, we were good for large spells of that game against Lazio at home, and they beat us with a counter-attack late on. You know, we were rubbish at Roma, but it just goes on. We can't see games out. And this
we also
one
don't
hurt.
Have the depth to see games out. You know, all we these don't. Teams that you're mentioning, Juve, Lazio, Inter, they all were able to bring on game changers. They may not have needed it, but you saw Christian Eriksen come on. Then they changed their entire formation, and he almost scores an incredible free kick from 25, 30 yards out. We don't have anyone to bring on. Mm-mm. We brought on a 30-year-old Bonaventura who hasn't had a good game in, like, 2 years. We brought on Paqueta, who we all thought was out the door because he couldn't play a game. You know,
yeah, that was
whatever. We don't have if we're going to be playing as hard and as fast and as strong as we do in these first halves against the big teams, then we need to be able to conserve energy. And that's why we collapse in the second half. They're tiring themselves out before that hour mark, and we don't have anyone to replace them with.
Yeah. Yeah. If the big idea behind playing that way in the in the first half, the first 30 minutes, the first 60 minutes of a game to get ourselves into a position where we are on top, then we need to have some kind of plan for when we do have to shut up shop and we have to play cautiously, perhaps. And, you know, I did something in midweek about the two major errors that we are probably going to pay for in terms of the January window, in that, you know, Maldini and Boban deserve the credit for getting what could potentially be 80 million in the bank for the summer in terms of saved wages, Suso and Piontek leaving, etc. But not bringing in a defensive-minded midfielder is absolutely criminal, you know, because that would have served us so, so well in that game where we needed to bring on somebody to sit in front of the back four and stop their midfielders who were pushing up as much as they were. And instead, we were left looking so, so lost. And then also a centre-forward, you know. I'm still worried about relying on a 38-year-old Ibrahimovic. He had an amazing, well, I say an amazing game. He was probably our best player during the derby. But I'm worried that if we're getting to a late stage in a game and we need a goal or whatever, does it really hurt to have another centre-forward option on the bench? Instead, we bring on Liao, who's pretty much a wide player at this point. And as you say, we bring on Bonaventura, and that's meant to be the big fix to our creative problems. And then Paqueta, who we all know either doesn't want to be here or wasn't wanted by anybody else. Either way, it doesn't look particularly great. And it's just like we've put so many eggs in one basket in terms of the starting 11, and that we're just a couple of injuries away from looking like such an average side. But yeah, just in-game management, it would have been so, so good to have a more defensive. We couldn't even bring on another centre-back and switch to five at the back. You know, we could have thrown Musacchio on there, but would people have really felt confident with that?
I would.
You know, it's not like
we are a few injuries away from not having players to field in their positions.
Mm.
Having an average side for just not having players in general.
I mean, Inter had Bastoni suspended and call upon, you know, Champions League finalist, multiple trophy winner Diego Godin to throw in there. He got bullied in the first half by Ibrahimovic, you know, who was targeting him, and then they managed to react to that, and Conte clearly adapted to that, and he didn't really get a sniff in the second half, Ibrahimovic, apart from obviously the one where he went over the top on Skriniar. I think, obviously, he hits the post. I think it was Skriniar. It might have been De Vrij, I'm not sure. And he headed it against the post. I think, honestly, if that had gone in, it'd have been given for a foul anyway. But
yeah,
we don't have anywhere near the depth of these teams, and it really showed. But I don't know. I don't feel like we were ever totally outplayed in this game, and that's why it hurts to concede four in the way that we did and to lose in the way that we did. I thought even in the second half when the game went to 2-2, we then started to get back on top, and then we got sucker punched from a corner, which brings me on to my next point. We got a question, which obviously it was going to come up in conversation anyway, but Mike98 asks, why is Romagnoli always so bad in the derbies? And I would extend that to big games.
I was about to say that same thing.
Captain, you know, how many times have we said perhaps captain in terms of leading by example through consistency and performances or you're a captain in terms of a vocal leader. If you're both, then, you know, that's it. It's amazing.
I think Donnarumma is more... What?
I don't know which one Romagnoli is in terms leading by example or being a vocal leader.
I think that Donnarumma is more of a leader than Romagnoli is. And I think people have started to see that as the season has gone on. And then was it this season when Boban said something at the very beginning, like something about Donnarumma being a leader in the locker room or something like that, right? Yeah. So I don't know. You want your best center back to show up in big games and he doesn't. So is it time to move on and cash in on him, or do you keep on?
We don't even have a partner for him. What do we do when we get rid of him? Musaki and Kier? No way.
We're clearly not going to sell him if we don't have replacements lined up. But another way to look at big games is none of the team performs.
So I think I do agree with that, Matty, that absolutely none of the team performs. But specifically with Romagnoli in big games, I think he knows that he's really the only defensive rock that we have. So in the big games, there's a lot more riding on it. Yes. He feels like he has to cover for more. And what happens when
he does have to cover?
You fail. and that's...
Yeah, but there's...
I don't think Kier is as bad as people were saying, though. I know Kessenta gave him a 5, and I thought that was ridiculous. I thought Roman he was, but I didn't read yours. I'm sorry. I didn't see. I was just so upset. I just didn't.
I think the problem is with the right side of the defense in general. You know, Kier's covering for Conte, who position-wise has been pretty terrible all season, or... What's your best alternative? Calabria at this point, who positionally hasn't been great, has a lot of errors in him.
Be Salamakers. And then we did it earlier today, but I think he's going to take over. I think he's going to earn the starting spot soon. He said himself after his debut that, you know, he was bought to be a winger, but he feels better as a defender or vice versa. I don't remember what the quote was, but he said he's going to compete for that spot immediately, and I fully believe him. To me, that says he sees where our weakness is. It's that spot. And he feels he could take it, and, you know, good for him. That's the mentality we need from everyone, not just new players coming in. But I have faith that he could do that. I don't know how great he's going to be, but as far as what our options are, I think he could do a better job than that, pretty simple.
Well, yeah, like you say, he can't possibly do worse, surely. So you maybe give him a game in this cup. You know, I'm already being a bit pessimistic here, but I don't really back us to beat Juve over two legs. So maybe you give him a game and just see how he could get on against a really tough opponent. And you might argue that it doesn't
really... Sales maker guy?
Yeah. Salad maker.
Let's talk about that Juve game, actually, because I agree. I don't think we're beating him over two legs. So do we even start our strongest 11 like we would in a two-legged semifinal? Or do we say, you know, give Begovic a shot and just kind of let the people who don't play much play? You know, because Latham's going to need a rest.
First?
I really don't know.
Yeah, we're at home first.
There's no way Latham's playing a full 90.
I start a stronger lineup on Thursday. And yeah, if we completely bottle it, then I let people get a chance away.
I think the result of the first leg, like you said, will probably dictate a lot. But then it's one of those where you can look at a two-legged tie as almost two halves, and if we were to win the first game, the first half, you know, let's say we take a 2-0 lead away into that second leg.
That's not a good lead to have.
Exactly. It becomes like another Inter situation where it's like, oh, do we play a strong 11 and try and attack from the start? Or we got a question from Joseph Calvo, who says, after the derby, if you're Pioli, what are you doing? Are you scolding the players for all the mistakes that they made that ultimately cost them? Or are you trying to take the positives from it, tell them to forget about the mistakes and focus on Juve and playing in a similar way against a team that will hurt us for the same things?
I think healthy criticism is a good thing. I was about to say there's no such thing as unhealthy criticism, but... That's absolutely not true.
Mm.
The players need to be told what they did wrong. You can't just be like, Ibra, great first half. second half, where were you, man? You know, no, you need to be like, hey, where were you?
I don't think Ibra's the first guy that you go to after that game.
No, he was just the first one that popped my head.
Yeah.
He's the only one you don't go to, honestly.
I get what it means. It's not the criticism thing. It's like the scolding thing of, do you go for the, okay, we'll analyze your mistakes, but we got things wrong in that second half? Or do you go for the, you've let the fans down, you've let, you know what I mean? Right. You go for the, that
was a disgrace.
Like, yeah.
I think there's a healthy amount to do that. You don't want to like lay it on and be like, you're a failure. Paqueta has confidence issues. You don't want to be like, man, you suck. Because then he's going to be like, oh, man, I shouldn't be a soccer player anymore, you know.
Right.
And turn to his professional video games or whatever he does now on his computer. But I think
he's doing esports now.
He posts pictures of his computer all the time. Anyway, you can be like, Romagnoli, you lost Lukaku so many times. You let the fans down. He now thinks he's the king of Milan.
Yeah,
No, you're not. You scored in one derby. Oh, I think he scored in the first one, too.
Yeah, he scored both.
I was about to say, you know.
Yeah, but to say it after a game where Ibra got a goal and an assist, and Lukaku just got, an easy...
Yeah.
I hate Lukaku so much.
I can't find a way to hate him.
If you go back and rewatch his goal, you could see Hakan is supposed to be covering a homeboy who sent the cross. And you just watch Victor Moses. You just see him kind of look at him. He's a good 10, 12 yards out and just kind of walking towards him. And then as soon as the ball's passed, then he starts running. By the time he's halfway there, he's already sent the cross up. Like,
yeah.
Okay, I know he's you know, an attacking mid. He shouldn't be anyways, but like
someone else missed your man, player you know? There.
But we're not talking here about game plan, man marking assignments. We're talking about it's the 92nd minute, get the ball back as quick as we can and pump it upfield. We're not talking about what formation should we have been in at that point. It was desperation. It was just like, but then to see him stand so far off, as you say, I think it was Vecino who dribbled the ball to the corner flag and we just couldn't get it anywhere.
Teo was on him. Teo was doing his job.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, why was no one going to help? You know, Hakan should be going there to help. I don't care that you're not a defender. We see him make these offensive slide tackles all the time. Get your ass over there and help, you know? We got a minute and a half to go. I don't mind
if Hakan has to lose Moses, if that's his man. You know, he just has to lose him all of a sudden. So it means we've got 2-on-1, get the ball out the corner, or it doesn't work. He manages an easy pass to Moses, and I'd rather them score a much easier goal, than even though it was hard for it to be any easier, but I'd rather them...
Anything but ball watching. That's
getting off topic.
Yeah, exactly. Anything but ball watching, which is what we do.
Do you criticize the players or do you feed what they did well and move into the Juve game?
Both,
yeah. You definitely need to compliment them for their first half performance because they all did really well outside of a few shots that were just sky high. And I think we actually saw that from Hakan, which no surprise there, but it was straight down the middle, sky high. And they showed it like in the replay in slow motion, like Ibra saying, calm down, like build the play up. And then right after that was when we built up the play and then Rebic got the goal. And it was just like, and that's the experience and leadership that Zlatan brings that we need in every, you know, every line of our formation. But that's another point. Then in the second half, you got to call them out for their shit. Be like, dude, you're ball watching. Like little 8-year-olds in the U10s don't ball watch, you know, like get your shit together. You're a pro. That drives me nuts. But
what I would have said if I was Pioli is straight after full time, when you get them all in the dressing room, I would have said, how are you feeling now? No doubt a lot of anger, a lot of hurt, disappointment, bottle that up and use that as an emotion, as a motivation not to make that same fuck up on Thursday night and the game after that and the game after that. You know, I would have just said this feeling, the feeling of losing a derby, especially after the position that we were in, is probably the worst feeling that you can get in football. So you've tasted it now. A lot of our squad will have tasted a derby defeat for the first time, or, you know, some of them will. Yeah, it's second, but in a more heartbreaking way this time. Mm-hmm. So use that, make sure it doesn't happen again.
That, you know, that's a part of like why this one hurts so bad to me, at least, we feel like it's been so long since the Gianpaolo era. It's almost like that was a different season, that after this game, I was like, we'll get him in the reverse. And then I realized this was the reverse.
Yeah.
And that crushed me. I seriously thought we had another game. I was like, we built off of it. Like, we're good.
Might do in the cup final.
I mean, yeah, maybe.
I hope.
I do, too.
I don't.
Actually, oh, yeah, I don't. That's what he could use. Probably beat us, and they'll win their first trophy in over 3,000 days.
Mm. But you know what? I would just love that one more.
Imagine that.
Just
football is just heading that way, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. I've given up with the game of football altogether.
Yeah. Volleyball Twitter's nice lately.
Mm, very good.
I bet it is.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know. It still hasn't really sunk in just yet. Obviously, this is a fixture where it hurts more than anything if you lose, but we can do all the post-mortems that we want. I think the thing that players and managers that have been involved in this game before, they say, like, nothing that you can possibly prepare for. All this stuff that happens within the game that you don't have the time to react to and stuff. It's just one of those ridiculously intense fixtures. And I don't feel angry. I genuinely don't really feel that angry, especially with the way that we played in the first half. I just feel a bit disappointed that things turned out the way that they did. That's the only thing that I can really say. And no level of analysis is going to change the outcome of the game. So,
yeah, shall we? Good for you to be civil, but every analysis makes me more upset. Yes, let's move on.
Yeah.
Torino on Monday.
Yes.
No, Juve first. Hang on. So
well,
Juve,
didn't we just talk about Juve?
Are you actually making changes, or are you going with the strongest 11 and just saying let's give it one go and see where we're at heading into the second leg?
I put in Salad Maker. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know how to say that guy's name, but I put him in for Conte because Conte looked like shit on Sunday.
Also,
what?
Conte's suspended.
Perfect.
For the game.
Oh, keep him out. He'll be in for sure. Yeah. Salamakers will be in there for sure.
How do you say his name?
Salamakers.
Salamakers.
Yeah. Salamander?
Close, yeah. No, I don't know. I'm torn. It's 3 days post-derby. I don't think Zlatan's going to be fit for it. He might start the game, but he'll come off at the hour marker sooner, or the other way around. He'll come on at the hour marker, the 55th minute or something.
I'd put Rebic up top. And
I think Liao's going to start up top, honestly.
I don't think they're going to be a good pairing.
They won't be.
I think Ibra will start because the whole thing about him training alone in the middle of the week before the derby was to make sure that he peaks for that game, but then also can start the Juve game as well. We didn't rush him back into group training to make sure that, you know, he gets properly back to 100% and then has the energy to start the game against Juve. I think he'll be well up for it.
I don't know how these guys do it.
He can't go a full
90,
though. There's no way.
No.
I wouldn't play him a full 90 because the Torino game is way more important.
Yep, I agree. I think the next three league games are winnable, and we need to get our heads back in the game. You know,
I don't care about Coppa Italia.
I care. I just don't think it's realistic to expect a victory here, to be honest.
Yeah, I
also need a better placement in the league over Coppa Italia, you know? Yeah.
We could beat Juve in a one-off game. That's when they struggle the most, in my opinion, but not over a two-legged affair. That's too much time to talk to a referee and buy something.
They have been struggling lately. So.
Yeah, they have, but they're definitely going to roll back after losing to Hayes Verona, who, by the way, are now sixth, and deservedly so. They're playing great football. Bologna have gone above us in the league. We're back down into 10th. Just as quickly as everything seems to be looking positive and looking up. This is where I'm a little bit worried, just looking generally now at not even the next few games, perhaps the next couple of months for this team. Does a result like the one on Sunday contribute to what could be another implosion?
Yes, you know,
We needed to keep that unbeaten run this year going as long as possible. It's like, okay, we don't beat Hayes Verona, so the winning run ends. Let's stay unbeaten against Inter to see if we can get a result there. Then we've got Torino. We shouldn't lose to them. Then we've got... Can't remember.
But we lost the reverse to Torino, remember?
We did, but they haven't got any bets since.
The last three seasons, we haven't beat Inter, I think, in three seasons in the league.
And after the downfall.
Yeah, and after every derby, we start to crash. It's going to happen.
The next three league games... Torino, Fiorentina, Genoa. all three winnable.
And then Lecce,
we also lost
that.
Two of those in the reverse. But yeah, that was Gianpaolo. Fiorentina's gotten way worse than how they started. So I think that's going to be a good – granted, it's away. But Torino at home, we beat them in the Coppa Italia at home, and we definitely deserve to win. Yeah, but I thought we deserved to win the original fixture too. It was like a seven-minute lap of concentration where Belotti got two kind of BS goals.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, exactly. Genoa's Genoa. I mean, they're no good. Like, this is the year they might go down, so there's no reason to lose that.
Still bald. Oh,
and
no.
Then, like you mentioned, was Lecce after that, who, to be fair, just like thwapped Napoli 3-2 or 3-1 or something like that.
3-2, yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we could really kickstart another run because after that is Roma. And I know I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but if we, you know, those four games, that's 12 points. Who's to say we can't do it to Roma? They haven't been the best this season.
No, but you literally said the same thing about going undefeated into the Derby. And we showed a great first half. Yeah, and we showed a great first half. So, but if this was Roma, we would have finished that game strong.
Mm-hmm. The problem with this run, even if we do that, there's still too lazy of Juve in between there that we're probably not going to come out on top of. That might be two losses to really break up the harmony moving forward. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
It could. It's a murderer's row, really.
Season
that.
Where every single game is critical. You have to win them at this point, or else we're not going to. I mean, when was the last time we went into March in 10th place?
That's 3 years ago.
Yeah, honestly, it probably was. But
yeah, I think it might have been.
And where did we
probably
finish?
Probably under Inzaghi.
11th? Yeah. Like it wasn't too hot. So we need to win. Hands down. That's my review for the rest of the season. We need to win. Done.
We do, yeah. every week that passes, because when there was that week, it was only last week, wasn't it? It was the Hayes Verona weekend where Atalanta and Roma both lost, I want to say. And
everyone
we failed
from fourth to eighth dropped points that week.
And we failed to take advantage of it. And then we have this thing where we look back at the end of the season or towards the end of the season, you think, oh, if we'd have just won that game, if we'd have just scored against Sampdoria, if we'd have just scored against Sassuolo at home, we'd be in much better position. This is exactly the reason that we're not in a better position. We're just not that great. We're not consistent enough. We're not good. And I know it's easy to say in hindsight, but I think even if we'd have won the derby, I would have still come on here and said I'm sceptical about our top four chances, because we're equally as capable of following up a win in the derby with a really bad performance against Torino or whatever. It does help for momentum and stuff like that, but...
Well, we did especially that now, the year Locatelli scored that winner against Juve, I think we lost the very next game to Genoa, like 3-1, something stupid. Yeah, so. I mean, it's... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think top four is happening.
No.
We've dropped too many points that we shouldn't have. I think top six is still doable. Fifth or sixth is well within the possibility. I mean, what, we're 2-3 points off six right now anyway, so it's like we could still do that. It's just there's a lot of teams in front of us that need to also drop points and make mistakes, and I don't know if that's going to happen at this point.
There are teams that I keep thinking are going to fall off, and they haven't.
Like Verona. Verona's the one I've been like, okay, when do they go back to relegation?
Yeah.
You know, they're every other year Serie A team.
Cagliari are above us. Parma are above us. Bologna are above us. They've won three in a row. They're flying again now. It's like, when?
Yeah, and ironically,
when's our turn?
You know? last season, it was like, there was one point when we were in third, and we're like, we could pass Napoli in second. And now we passed them, except they're in 11th and we're in 10th. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, and I just don't think that Atalanta drop enough points between now and the end of the season for that 10-point gap to get overturned. And if a gap does get overturned, it probably wouldn't be us, you know. Might be Roma that do it or something like that. We need to focus on getting into Europe in general next season now. You know, I know people are against the Europa League, see it as the secondary competition and a waste of energy. It's worth money. And it does attract probably a slightly better caliber of player than people saying, oh, Milan, not in Europe again. You know, it's a pretty depressing mentality, is that when we end up finishing like 8th to 10th or something like that. We can't have that happen. I think 6th just about rescues a bit of respectability.
Luckily, we could get seventh this year.
Oh, yeah, probably because of the way the cup's going to work out.
Yeah.
That would, yeah, I mean, we're only a point off seventh. So,
yeah, I think Europe's going to happen. I mean, I just don't think it'll be the good Europe.
No, but it's better than nothing. It is better than nothing at this stage. So we'll see. Yeah, Torino, anyway, I'm just looking at Torino. They're 5 points behind us now. I can't believe we've lost 9 and we've won 9 this season. It's like we should always, at the very least, win more than we lose. And we're not doing that.
No, we're not.
There's no reason it should have taken us 20, well, at this point, it's going to be 24 games to just get 10 wins. Come on. It should take at most 14 games for that. I mean, we should be good, but we're
if
not.
We're talking about the sides of old, then yeah. I mean, we were better last season. We really were. And that's the bottom line. And we've spoken so many times about where were the fuck ups along the way. And, you know, you can say there were so many things, this stupid amount of overhaul that we keep having and stuff like that, but we were better this time last year. And it really bugs me, does that. But yeah, I don't know. So, Juve score prediction?
3-1 Juve.
Matty?
2-0 Juve.
2-2 draw. I think it'll be a 2-2 draw. And we'll talk about the return leg nearer the time, but I think we lose that handsomely. And then Torino score prediction?
I think we'll get a clean sheet. I think it'll be 2-0. We'll win.
That's favorable. We have not beaten Torino in the league since 2016.
Really?
Yes. We've beaten them in Coppa Italia.
Is that the first game of the 16-17 season when we won 3-2? And yes. Donnarumma saved the Belotti.
Making that face, I remember.
Yeah, it's because Donnarumma saved a last-minute penalty from Belotti.
Yeah.
Belotti's going to score against us. Maddie, you go with your prediction, mate. Sorry.
It's skipping over me, man. I'll say we're going to win that 2-1.
I'm worried about the mentality of this team now and about the potential, you know, for us to implode now if a game's not going our way. So I'm going to say we draw that 1-1 or something like that. And everything's back to how it was pre-Ibra coming. There's mass panic, etc.
I think he's able to rally the troops again. I don't think, because his mentality's not going to drop, and I don't think he's going to let everyone else around him do that. It's going to, but I think he's going to be able to quickly turn that around, and we may not be fighting as hard as we did first half against Inter, but I don't think we're going to be seeing second half performances again.
Yeah, I think that we need to continue to see the Liao and Ibra play together, because that's the only way that Liao is going to continue to develop.
Rebic has 4 of Milan's last 7 goals.
Yeah, Rebic needs to play as well, but Liao is such like a raw talent right now that I feel like he's like a wild horse that needs to be, I forgot what the term is, tame. Yeah, but there's a different word for a horse.
Broken in.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta break in the horse. Yeah, stallion.
And I feel like he's such a good talent. You know?
I was saying about how we need to keep fighting, make sure we definitely get back into Europe, but I wouldn't mind us completely imploding and just like experimenting between now and the end of the season and just seeing how many of these young players are worth keeping and do we need another complete rebuild? Because we're not going to learn anything about Rafael Leao by playing him for 20 minutes a game between now and the end of the season. So I don't know. We'll see.
Play him in the hole. We're in Hong Kong. Hakan's for me. God, I can't even
in
talk.
Hong Kong?
In Hong Kong. Send him to China.
Wuhan.
No, we'll do the 4-4-1-1 again, and we'll put Liao behind Niebuhr instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll just get wide.
We got a couple of questions that came in about the Thiago Silva stuff. You know, I've been saying that Romagnoli needs a consistent partner. His agent, Thiago Silva's agent, that is, came out and basically said never say never with the rumours of a Milan return. And then Louis Girardi, who's the, you know, the transfer source guy, came out and said that we've begun talks with his agent about potentially coming back. He will be He's 34 at the moment. He'll be 35 like early next season. What do you reckon? Like,
still taking
him. Yeah.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
I don't think he's a consistent partner that he needs.
I think it's the same leadership effect. Him and Zlatan had a partnership at two clubs that was unbreakable. Yeah. Plus, Paqueta will have someone who could actually get his head out of his ass.
What did they win besides French trophies?
Milan. The last Scudetto. Scudetto.
But that was 10 years ago.
PSG. The team is totally different than it was 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, any bit of chemistry, anyone else who could back Ibra's attitude is going to raise the team.
He's on $12 million a year.
He won't be
he would
when
have
he comes
to
here.
Take a substantial
I mean, Zlatan pick. Was on like 8 or 9 million, and now he's on 3. You know?
I think the signing of Ibrahimovic, even though it's Ibrahimovic and it should be fairly obvious, has proven that if you want leadership and you want players that have won things and have experience at the elite level, you're going to have to pay them big salary. And that might
look
come as a trade-off.
Inter,
for not...
Inter yeah. is following the model that I've been begging us to do for years, and it kills me to see it. That we're still trying to find unknown gems, you know, it doesn't work. And then Inter's over here like, well, okay, Godin on a free. He's one of the best in the world. Let's grab him. Lukaku, let's splash all the cash. Eriksen, splash cash. Like,
Ashley yeah. Young, who has somehow turned into a very good wingback.
That's what Inter does, man. That's what we've needed to do for years.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Yeah, who knows? Everything may change in the...
Do you know what the difference between Inter and us are? They don't have Ivan Gazidis trying to run them as a business to make money.
Well, they got Steven Zhang or whatever, who's the youngest president in European football. Isn't he like 28? So yeah, he's playing football manager. He's playing FIFA. It works. Like,
that's because they spend money. Yeah. And they spend money and they pay their players. We're all about, let's not give you a lot of money. We want to make money.
Nickel and dime.
And win. You know?
Feel like we're going back to... There was that stat about the last time we lost 4 league derbies in a row and it being in the 80s when we went through our worst period as a club. I'm not saying we're going anywhere near the bankruptcy Serie B stuff again, but it does feel like we're fading. So get Berlusconi to buy the club back again. And
At least that man spent money.
Ooh, well, not towards the end, but...
He
did until inflation kicked in.
Would be kind of ironic in a way if, given the fact that Ibrahimovic and Thiago Silva left us the first time around because we needed the money so badly, if they then rejoined when we were supposed to need the money even more, you know, for Elliot to sell on. But I don't know. For the romance of it, I'm probably for it, but definitely just any kind of leadership. I still think we need it badly
Let's
in the
bring
midfield.
Back
so, so badly Ambrosini, in the midfield.
Well, he's Tatarano, also better than Musaki or Gare.
Just bring back the entire 2011 team.
Fuck it.
Not Torino.
They'll probably do better, yeah.
Yeah.
Captain by Montolivo as well.
Inzaghi. Bring him out of retirement. Have him retire at Benevento to start playing again.
Don't think Rubinho's allowed back in Italy, but, you know.
I forgot about that.
We'll leave that.
Right.
Great podcast.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know if you've got any closing thoughts, lads.
It was good to vent. Needed it.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like a group counseling session this time around.
Yeah.
I want to be honest with you guys. I used to get so worked up about sports. I used to scream at the TV and everything. And then my dad just walked in the room and goes, if you continue to live like this, this is going to kill you. And since then, I'm not going to lie, I don't get worked up. That game sucked, but an hour later I was just like, there's nothing I can do to control the outcome. I'm not gonna let the outcome control me.
So Matt is a fake fan.
Yeah.
No, I can't stand it. I hate it. I think it's because I know too many Inter fans, you know. It's a difficult one. Cammy bloody got it right as well, saying that Ibrahimovic would score, we'd take the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And we would lose with Lukaku having a say in it. He was bang on.
Well, he's not coming back on the podcast.
No, he's not.
Tired of him predicting it right every time. That's his third time doing it, isn't it? Twice this season.
I think so. So on that rather depressing note, Thank you for listening, everyone. Being your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher or at Kilpin Chronicle for some more, much more, more and more so nowadays, explicit rants about Milan. Been joined by Anthony Torgrud.
Yep. Good pod. Glad to be here. See you next week. Torgrud 45. Over to Maddie.
Good pod. You guys can follow me at Madison_DT.
Yeah, thank you for listening, everyone. We'll hopefully be back and more positive in a week's time.
La rimette dentro. Esce Radu, porta vuota. Gol! Gol! Abbiamo battuto il gatto nero! Li abbiamo battuti tutti, Alessio! Grande Alessio! È bella la vita! Lava quella zolla, Alessio! Lava la quella zolla, Alessio! Lava!